Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. The end of our broadcast will be given the service times of our meeting at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all these services. You will always be warmly received. We also encourage you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable biblical resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. This morning we want to begin a two-part study that we will conclude next Lord's Day on the subject of hinged on the cross. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the New Testament says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The cross of Christ stands as a monumental landmark between two great covenants, and hinged on it are the Old Testament promises and the New Testament fulfillment. It stands at the meeting of the two great ages. It was only by the cross of Christ that we were separated and made free from the law and its rituals and its ordinances. The cross was a cruel instrument of death, standing stark and cold as a symbol of retribution against evildoers. Yet it was there that divine love was manifested to free us from the guilt of sin and death. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the Christ of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 6, verse 14. It is no wonder the cross bears such an influence in God's plan of salvation, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. As we begin this study, let us define the word hinge. The word hinge means a point of circumstances on which subsequent events depend. And that's exactly how we want to use the word hinge this morning. A point of circumstances on which subsequent events depend. This morning we want to look at four things that hinged on the cross of Christ. Number one were the promises of God. Those things foretold and revealed of old and leading to the time of his coming were hinged on the cross. For it took his death to fulfill them. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, All promises of God are in him. The accumulative total of all those Old Testament prophecies were thus hinged on the cross. In Galatians 3 verse 8, it said the gospel would be preached to Abraham. In these all nations of the earth would be blessed. Of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 3. That promise was fulfilled in Christ. Galatians 3:16. And to your seed, and that seed is Christ. This was tied to the suffering of the cross, according to Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, which tells us that Christ suffered and rose from the dead on the third day. God had shown this would surely come to pass in the passage of time, according to Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. And it was foretold by the prophets that the Lord would suffer. Remember Isaiah chapter 53. What was the remission of sins tied to? It was tied to his death. Jesus said that himself in Matthew 26, verse 26 through 29, when he instituted the Lord's Supper. What promises of God's eternal purpose were not tied to his death and overcoming the grave? The Apostle Paul makes this very clear in his theme on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13 through 19. So God's promises were all hinged on the cross, and thus they were fulfilled. Number two, the types and shadows of the Old Testament were hinged on the cross. The various and sundry types and shadows found under the law of Moses hinged on the cross of Christ for their true meaning. The blood of every lamb slain and offered on the altars of Israel were without real meaning until John saw the Son of God approaching and cried, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1 verse 29. The Paschal Lamb was offered each year, and the Passover feast observed beginning in Exodus chapter 12. But its true meaning was given in Paul's words, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. How can we evaluate the Old Covenant ordinances without seeing the New Testament application? Please consider the reading of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. These shadowy types under the law forecast the death of on the cross to give them a clearer and purer meaning and understanding. They were our examples, according to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. We're told in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19 that we were bought with the precious blood of Christ, without spot or without blemish. Again, this has reference to the old law. This identifies all those animal sacrifices under the Old Testament requirement, according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Our hope is in Christ and all these sacrifices being accepted by Him based upon His death on the cross, the blood being shed. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, those sacrifices under the old law were now validated and accepted by God, not because of the blood of the animals, but because of the blood of our Savior. The shadows of the Old Testament come alive by the death of Christ on His cross. Next, we want to consider the end of the law. The end of the law was hinged on the cross. The end and the culmination of the law is also hinged on the cross of Christ. Please consider the reading of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14. And you being dead in your trespasses, uncircumcision of your heart, have been made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to His cross. The law was nailed to His cross. All the rituals, the ordinances, and the demands of the law of Moses were nailed to the cross of Christ, thereby freeing us from that which was contrary to us, that we might enjoy the perfect law of liberty, as we can read in James chapter 1 and verse 25. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 through 17, the Hebrew writer explained, "For this reason He is the mediator of a new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator liveth." The will of the testator is not enforced until his death. Christ's death on the cross put His will into force. Was the law of Moses ever intended to be eternal law for all ages? Certainly not. The law of Moses served its purpose when Christ died upon the cross, according to Galatians 3:19 through 24. The law leads one to Christ. The purpose of the law was to point out transgressions to those who committed sin, their need for a Savior, and how they could come to the Savior. That was what the law was designed to do. When Christ died upon the cross, now the sacrifice had been made, now the Savior's redemption is now present with us, and we are no longer under the cross. And brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Galatians 5, verse 11. It is further stated by Paul in Galatians 6, verse 12. When did the old economy come to an end? What is the event in the scripture which points to the end of the law of Moses? Without a doubt, it was the death of Christ upon the cross. Lastly, this morning, we want to look at man's redemption, for it too is hinged on the cross. Man's redemption from sin is indisputably hinged on the cross of Christ. Man was alienated from God by his sin. How could he be redeemed? How could he be brought back? By the blood of Jesus Christ. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, He died for us while we were still sinners. How was the way open for man's return to fellowship with God? Please read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, where we explain that the middle wall of partition, the old law that separated the Jew and the Gentile, that caused division, was brought down by the blood of Christ. and the two, the Jew and the Gentile, were made one in one body by Christ's death upon the cross. We who were separated from Christ were brought nigh by the blood of Christ. What was the pivotal point in which God's plan hinged on? Without exception, it was Jesus' death upon the cross. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 19, we read, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Notice, all of God's plan was hinged on the cross of Christ. Since it is by the cross of Christ we have been reconciled and redeemed by the shedding of his blood, thus man's redemption is hinged on the cross. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, we are told that we are brought out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Ephesians 1, in verse 7, Paul explained that we have forgiveness of sin and redemption through the blood of Christ. Could man have come to God without the death of Christ upon the cross? Never. According to 1 Peter 3, verse 18, it brought us to God. Christ's death was our atonement for our sin, according to 1 John 2, and verse 3. What should our feeling be for those who paid the price for the sins of the world? In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, and Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we should be extremely grateful. By this death, he became the redeemer of those who lived under the Old Testament and those who would live under the New Testament. Christ did for man what he could never have done for himself, what all those animals given by those under the Old Testament could never make possible: man's redemption, man's freedom from the bondage of sin, man's freedom to have a divine remedy that once and forever would be able to take care of his sin, that he once again might be in fellowship with his Creator and once again could be redeemed and brought back into a spiritual relationship that the blood of Christ made possible. In Romans, the 6th chapter, in verse number 16, Romans chapter 6, in verse number 16, "Do you not know to whom you present yourself slaves to obey? You are the one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Yes, man's redemption was hinged on the cross. So let us quickly review. What things were hinged on the cross of Christ? The promises of God, every Old Testament fulfillment, and the fulfillment of God's eternal plan was hinged on the cross. The types and shadows that we read about of the things done under the old law were hinged on the cross and found the reality in Christ. The end of the law, it was nailed to the cross. It had served its purpose. It had done what God had designed it to do. And finally, man's redemption is hinged on the cross because it is through the blood that was shed on the cross that man has the ability to be free from the bondage of sin and once again be reconciled to Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him. Next week, we will look at four other things that were hinged on the cross of Christ. Yes, God be thanked that his Son loved us enough to die upon that cross. Talk to you again next Sunday. Have a good day.